All right, well, let's do a quick review together. So what is the main topic of our current sermon series? The church, right? We're looking at things like the church is the flock of God, right? The church is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, sons of God, a kingdom of priests, and a temple, right? And we said the church is united and assembled together for the purpose of exalting God and edifying the church and evangelizing the world, right? Well, now today, Pastor Timothy asked me to jump into this series and talk about the one another commands of Scripture. Are you familiar with these one another commands of Scripture? They're pretty much what they sound like. They are directives from God about how we are supposed to treat one another as a church. So things like be kind to one another, care for one another, serve one another, things like that. So let's try this. Talk to the people around you. Just grab a couple of people right around you. Talk to a couple of people around you and see how many of these biblical one another commands you can think of. So just chat amongst yourselves. How many of these biblical one another commands can you think of? Go. All right, I'm sure you got a great list going. I'm sure you thought of all of them. That's great. Good job. Let's compare lists and see what you came up with. So here's what I've got. Bite and devour one another. Devise evil in your hearts against one another. Grumble against one another. Hate one another. Judge one another. Lie to one another. Provoke and envy one another. Speak evil against one another. Wrong one another. That's probably not the list that you have, but we are coming back to this list. We're gonna come back to this a little later. Maybe this is more like the list that you have. I'm sorry if it's so tiny. Well, I mean, it's kind of legible, right? But there's just so many. I was trying to fit them on the screen. You know, this is probably the list that you have, right? Pray for one another. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Bear one another's burdens. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. This is probably more like the list that you had, right? In my study, I found 68 one another commands in Scripture. Now, that's total. That's Old Testament and New Testament, those negative ones and the affirmative ones, and many of them are repeated multiple times. So this list here just is all of the different affirmative one another commands. So just take a minute, maybe, just take a minute and read through the list quietly by yourself and imagine that this is Jesus speaking to us as his church. Take a minute and just glance through it. All right, I've got a little Bible trivia question for you. Ready? You like Bible trivia? So which of these one another commands is most often repeated in the Bible? What do you think? Oh, that's too easy. Love one another. Okay, that was way too easy. Love one another. Okay, what is the second most often repeated one another command in Scripture? That one's a little more complicated, maybe. It's actually greet one another with a holy kiss. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor and greet. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I mean, you can if you want to, but I'm kidding. So the command to greet one another with a holy kiss occurs four times in Scripture. The command to love one another occurs 18 times in Scripture. And as I was meditating on it this week, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, right? That makes sense because love is the perfect summary of all the commands, right? It makes me think about Romans 13:9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I realize this is talking about Old Testament commandments, but I think the principle is the same. The idea is the same, that love is the perfect summary of all God's commands. The command to love one another encapsulates all the other commands. Or maybe you could think of it like a tree, okay? Can you think of a tree? So the trunk of the tree is loving one another, right? And out of the trunk of that tree, you've got all these branches of encouraging one another. Pray for one another, care for one another, serve one another. But they all grow out of that trunk of loving one another. So think about it like this. When we show kindness to one another, that's love. When we show hospitality to each other, that's love. When we edify and encourage one another, that's love. So all of these commands flow out of the foundational command to love one another. Now, as we look at this list, I know there's a danger here. I recognize the danger. For some of us, we see a long list of commands like this, and our eyes glaze over, and we say, yeah, whatever, it's a really long list, that's nice. And others of us, we despair when we see a list like this. Oh, I'm such a bad person. That's neither of those. That's not what we're going for this morning. I want to encourage you this morning with biblical motivation for obeying these one another commands. And I decided to phrase them as prayers because we cannot do this on our own. We desperately need God's help to do this. So here's my first prayer. Number one, Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we are members of one another. So here's my first prayer. Number one, Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we are members of one another. Go over to Romans chapter 12 with me. Starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Did you catch the one another commands there? Down in verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. See, Paul is talking about how Jesus has designed his church to operate. This is how he wants us to treat one another as a church. He starts in verse 3 talking about how humility is the key to interpersonal relationships in the church. It is vital for us to remember that we are not any more important than any other member of the church body. And then down in verses 6 through 8, he talks about how God has given each of us these gifts that we can use to build up the church, to serve one another and disciple one another. And then right in the middle, in verse 4, Paul uses this metaphor of a body. Did you see that in verse 4? For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So Paul really likes this metaphor of the church as a body. He also uses it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So the church is the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit regenerated us and we started repenting of our sins and trusting Jesus, we were united with Jesus in his body. Now this is a spiritual reality, his spiritual body. We were united with Jesus in his body. We became members of his body. He's the head, and all of us individually, we are body parts. We are members of Christ's body. But in Romans 12:5, he says, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Okay, so not only are we members of the body of Christ, we're actually members of one another. What in the world does that mean? Well, it means we belong to one another. It means we are interdependent on each other. It means we're connected to one another. We are responsible for one another. We are accountable to one another. And we need each other. Brothers and sisters, think about this. We only fulfill our God-given design as a church together, with each other, because we are members of one another. Remember how Pastor Timothy talked about how our identity drives our behavior, right? He's mentioned that a few times. Well, this is our identity. We are members of the body of Christ, and we are members of one another. And that identity should compel us to love one another, serve one another, pray for one another, forgive one another. Because that's the only way that the body can work properly, work the way God designed it to work. For me personally, as I've been meditating on this week, I don't know if this is where you're at, but this is kind of where I'm at. I'm concerned that we are not intentional about these one another commands because we don't feel our need for each other. We don't feel like we belong to each other. We don't feel like we're connected with each other. We don't feel our desperate dependence on each other. When we were in Tanzania, we were on a missionary team of about 20 adults and a whole bunch of kids. We didn't always like each other. We didn't. I know, we're missionaries, but we didn't always like each other. We didn't appreciate each other's preferences. We didn't agree with each other's decisions, but we needed each other. We had all been ripped away from friends and families and churches. We were 10 hours away from the nearest medical facilities. We were foreigners in a strange place that sometimes didn't want us there. We endured constant trials and hardships. We needed each other. We were stuck with each other, but we stuck together for better or worse, because we needed each other. When one member of the body was hurting, everyone else hurt with them. When one member had a need, everyone was mobilized to help meet that need. When one member had a birthday party, everybody was there to be a part of the joy and to show support. We were doing these one another commands because we felt our desperate dependence on each other. So brothers and sisters, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that would help us. So let's pray that God would help us realize our need for each other. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we are members of one another. Here's my second prayer. Number two, Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because disobedience destroys the church. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because disobedience destroys the church. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Again, did you notice those one another commands down in 32 there? Be kind to one another, forgiving one another. So again, Paul is talking about how Jesus designed his church to operate. This is how he wants us to treat each other as a church. And did you catch that cool phrase in verse 25? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for, did you get that? We are members one of another. There it is again. There's that interesting phrase again, that we are members of one another. Now, in this passage, Paul is not only emphasizing the importance of obeying the one another commands, here he's also warning us against the danger of disobeying the one another commands, or you could say like doing the opposite of those commands, because disobeying the one another commands destroys the church. That verse 25 there, the parallel passage over in Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Okay, so try to picture the body, okay? Try to picture the body of Christ. So Jesus is the head, right? And individually, we are all members of the body of Christ, and we are members of one another. Okay, so imagine my body, okay? So what if the parts of my body lied to each other? Okay, let's just take my feet, okay? What if my feet lied to each other? I would be in a lot of pain really quickly, right? Listen to this quote from a pastor named John Chrysostom in the 4th century. It's so obvious that it's actually kind of humorous, okay? Let not the eye lie to the foot, nor the foot to the eye. For example, if there shall be a deep pit, and then by having reeds laid across upon the mouth of it, it shall by its appearance furnish to the eye an expectation of solid ground, will not the eye use the foot and discover whether it yields and is hollow underneath, or whether it is firm and resists? Will the foot tell a lie and not report the truth as it is? And what again, if the eye were to spy a serpent, will it lie to the foot? Will it not at once inform it, and the foot, thus informed by it, refrain from going on? And what again, when all shall depend upon the smelling, as, for example, whether a drug be deadly or not, will the smelling lie to the mouth? And why not? Because it will be destroying itself also. Rather, it tells the truth. Like, it's so logical. Like, it's just so obvious. Obviously, the parts of our body shouldn't lie to each other. That's kind of funny. But the same is true in the body of Christ. When we lie to each other in the body of Christ, we destroy the body. When we lie, when we mislead, when we deceive, when we say one thing and do another, we destroy the body. I mean, look at in Ephesians 4 here. Look at all of these destructive activities, like verse 26. When we're angry with each other. Okay, let's just start right there. When we're angry with each other. When we're impatient with each other. When we're frustrated with each other. When we're annoyed with each other. We open the door for the devil. Yeah, that's destructive. Verse 29, when we use corrupting talk with each other. Or about each other, or behind each other's backs, or on social media. We destroy the body. Or verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Why? Because those things are destructive. Now we have to go back to that list that I showed you at the beginning. This is what we're talking about here. This biting and devouring one another, this devising evil in your hearts against one another, this grumbling against one another, this speaking evil against one another. Brothers and sisters, listen. If we are doing these things, we are destroying the body of Christ. The best analogy I can think of, I'm sorry if this is offensive to you, but the best analogy that I can think of is if we are doing these things, we are like an autoimmune disease in the body. Do you know what an autoimmune disease does? It's cells of the body attacking and destroying other healthy cells in the body. That's the best analogy I can think of if we are doing these kind of things. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to obey these one another commands because disobedience destroys the church. Now, I know that was pretty heavy and pretty dark, so let's turn a corner now. But it's important, right? It's important. Let's turn a corner now. Here's my third prayer. Number three, Lord, help us to obey these one another commands as a response to your love for us. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands as a response to your love for us. Flip over to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. How many one another's do you see there? There's three, right? Love one another, love one another, love one another. Again, the most often repeated one another command in Scripture is to love one another because love is the perfect summary of all the other commands. Loving one another encapsulates all the other one another commands. But what I want to focus on in this passage is what is our motivation for loving one another? Look again at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. And then what's the next word? Say it out loud. For. For, so John says, here's the reason why we should love one another. Here's the motivation for loving one another. He says, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we, as followers of Jesus, we claim to be people who know God, right? I mean, we claim to have a personal relationship with God. We claim to have been born again by God, right? Well, if those claims are true, then we should be people who are loving one another because God is love. Think about it like this, okay? So if we claim to have been born again by God who is love, we should be loving, right? To think of it like in a kind of a human example or from a human perspective, when my kids, I didn't get their permission for this, but I hope it's okay. When my kids do something kind of weird or quirky like me, or when they do something amazing and awesome like Jeanette, we have this line in our house where we often say, well, we do share some genetic material. That's this kind of a line in our house. Like, yeah, obviously, because we share some genetic material. Well, okay, so now take it here. We claim to have been people who are born again by God who is love. We should be looking like our Heavenly Father. We should be loving like our Father who is love, right? He goes on in verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Brothers and sisters, do you know that God loves you? Thank you so much, Heather. Praise God that he put that on your heart to sing that song today. That was a wonderful song. I love that song. That God really does love us. I was preaching that to myself while I was singing it, and I was preaching it to all of you, and I was singing it as loud as I could so that I could preach it to you. Ventura, God really loves you. And I was telling myself at the same time, God really loves us. Do you know that? And do you know how much God loves you? This is a great moment to just pause and rehearse the gospel again to ourselves. I know you've heard it before, but if we treasure it, we won't mind rehearsing it again, right? We need to remember that we were enemies of God. We rebelled against God. And because of that sin, we deserved wrath, condemnation, and punishment from God. But God chose to love us. That's good news. God chose to love us. He loved us so much, he sent his Son Jesus to live a perfectly obedient life and then die a horrible death in our place, taking our punishment. Jesus took the wrath of God so that we could be restored to a right relationship with God. Now, because of Jesus, we are forgiven and cleansed and adopted as God's children. Now, because of Jesus, God's own Spirit lives in us. Friends, that's how much God loves us. Now look at verse 11. Now look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, read the next part with me out loud. We also ought to love one another. You get that? Do you hear that? Our behavior flows out of our identity. Our identity is we are beloved. We are infinitely loved by the Creator of the universe. That's who we are. And out of that identity flows love for one another. When we receive God's love for us, when we are filled up with God's love for us, it will flow out of us in caring for one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, serving one another. It's like John says down in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands as a response to your love for us. And then number four, Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we want to be more like Jesus. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we want to be more like Jesus. I know that when you look at that big list of all those one another commands, I know that we're tempted to feel guilty. I know. I feel it. Like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be better at loving one another. I know I'm such a bad Christian. I'll try harder. No. No. That's poison. Instead, here's what we should do. Let me put the list up. Here's what we should do. When we look at this list, we should say, wow, that looks like Jesus. I see Jesus on that list. Jesus did all of those things perfectly, and I want to be more like Jesus. So let's try this. Talk to the people around you again, and try to think of specific examples in Jesus' life where he did this. Talk to the people around you again, and try to think of specific examples from Jesus' life of when he was doing this. Go ahead, just take a couple seconds. Go ahead. All right, of course, I hope you keep working on it. I hope you keep thinking about it. Here's just a couple that I found as I was meditating on these truths. Jesus clothed himself in humility when he washed the disciples' feet. Actually, that's a twofer right there. Jesus spoke truth to the crowds. He instructed them from the scriptures. He admonished James and John. Remember that? When they were out of line, overreacted, he admonished them. Jesus showed kindness and mercy to the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus encouraged and edified Peter when he reinstated him after that denial. Jesus prayed for his followers on the night of his arrest. Jesus bore the burden of grief right alongside Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. Jesus forgave the sinful woman who wept at his feet. When we look at this list of one another commands, we should see Jesus. And it should make us say, I want to be more like Jesus. Because 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Jesus is my Savior and my King and my treasure. I want to walk like him and live like him and act like him and do what he does. So Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we want to be more like Jesus. So those are my prayers for us. Here's my final thought. What would happen if we truly lived like this? What would happen if we did these one another commands? Well, let's jump back to that passage in 1 John 4, those last two verses there, 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. That word perfected there is beautifully complex, okay? It means God's love reaches its intended goal, accomplishes its mission, completes its objective. Okay, this is so cool. All right, are you ready? Okay, so it starts with God loving us first, right? Okay, so God loves us first. We are filled up with God's love, and then his love reaches its intended goal when we turn and love each other. You see that? So it's like God's love is on a mission through us to one another. And when that happens, the invisible God is put on display for people to see. That's what verse 12 is saying. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. God is invisible. We can't see God. But if we joyfully serve one another and encourage one another and care for one another and show hospitality to one another, God is put on display. People see God in our love for each other as a body. It's like a little glimpse of heaven on earth when we love one another in the body of Christ. I tried to think of two examples for you maybe to try to help you get this. Let's try to imagine a fellow church member who's struggling. I mean, they are struggling. They are on the brink of despair. They are walking through a painful, dark valley. I mean, they are starting to question, does God even see me? Does God even know me? Does God even love me? Is God even real? They're on the brink. Now, imagine we, as the body of Christ, we come around them and we pray for them and we comfort them and we care for them and we encourage them. What just happened? We showed a tangible expression of God's love for them. We assured them, yes, God does see you, God does know you, God does love you, and God is real. Or what about someone outside the church? What about an unbeliever? They're just living their life in emptiness and deception and shame and anger. But somehow they see the body of Christ. Somehow they see the body of Christ genuinely, sincerely bearing one another's burdens and living in harmony with one another and honoring one another. That person's heart is going to start to ache with longing for that kind of acceptance and love. See, what just happened is Jesus got put on display for them to see, and it's seen in our love for each other. That's what would happen if we obeyed these one another commands. And then here's one more from John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's massive. If we love one another, people around us will recognize that we are disciples of Jesus. If we truly love one another humbly, selflessly, and sacrificially, the watching world will know that we are apprentices of Jesus, that we have been transformed and changed, that we enjoy a personal relationship with the way and the truth and the life. Last week, Mark Buell talked about evangelizing the world. This could be a great first step. Our love for one another is a compelling testimony to each other and to the world that our God is real and our God is love and our God sees us and knows us and wants us to enjoy new life in Jesus. So as we close our time together this morning, I'm just going to pray those prayers. I'm just going to pray those prayers, and then I'll give you some time just to quietly reflect and think and pray. So I'll close with prayer, and then you just spend some quiet time praying and meditating, and I think someone else is coming up after that. Let's pray. God, thank you again for the gift of your word. Thank you that we can read your word in our language and understand it. Thank you for your Spirit who helps us to apply your word. God, we've seen this list of one another commands. We've seen how Jesus wants his church to operate. And oh, we need your help. So Lord, would you help us to obey these one another commands because we are members of one another. Help us to understand our deep dependence and interconnectedness. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because disobedience destroys the church. Oh, do not let us hurt one another in your body. Lord, help us to obey these one another commands as a response to your love for us. Oh, you've loved us so much. We want to be so filled up with your love that it overflows in love to each other. And Lord, help us to obey these one another commands because we want to be more like Jesus. We see this list and we see the beauty of our Savior, our King, our treasure. We want to be more like him. So please change us and transform us by your word and your Spirit. And we pray it all through Jesus and because of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and spend a few minutes quietly now.
And if you would, follow me and let's pray this prayer of confession together. Creator and Father, we are amazed that you love us so deeply, and we ask for forgiveness where we have no thought of serving and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Renew and restore a deep love for one another, and empower us to live out your will with each other even today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And so, Ventura, hear these words of assurance. If you truly confess that and confess those things before the Lord, hear these words that God has spoken through the Apostle John to us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen? Let's stand in our confession and belief that he has forgiven us and given us grace.
Diction from our God to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you all have a wonderful week, and you are dismissed.